Hey, everybody, it's Jeff Bajorek from the Why on the Buy podcast, and September is all about customer loyalty on our show. Yes, it's important to go get new customers, but it's also vitally important to keep the ones you have. So all of our interviews and our Monday musings are going to surround this very important concept in business. So tune into the Why on the Buy podcast, because when you know your whys, your hows and your whats get much better.
Who's going to buy a person with a bleeding neck? That's who's going to buy. And if they don't have a bleeding neck, they're not buying your stuff. So that's the first power disqualifier.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, America's premier sales and personal development podcast, maybe globally. Who knows? My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling. I'm joined by
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Hey, everyone.
You know, we have a really shitty guest today, and he's going to teach us absolutely nothing.
Blah, blah,
he's a
blah.
Dork.
No, and, we do not.
I mean, can you imagine that? Can you, our guest is really a piece of crap.
Yeah.
No, we actually have a pretty cool guest today.
Yeah, we do.
His name is Perry Marshall. He's the author of the 80-20 in sales, the 80-20 sales and marketing. And he's going to give you some insight. But before he gives you that insight, we're going to talk.
Yeah, and by the way, he'll actually explain what his 80-20 philosophy is.
Aha.
But he's a cool guy. He's one of the pioneers of Google AdWords.
He sold hundreds of billions of dollars worth of AdWords for Google, or Mother Google.
And he's going to talk about what he refers to as the bleeding neck. Not to keep you guys in suspense,
Yeah, the bleeding neck, it's jugular in nature.
No, we're not going to go there.
Oh, but this is the challenge for you. Think about, diehard, think about how many times you use Google every day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody uses it a half a dozen times minimum. I've already used it four times this morning.
Mm.
And I think that there is a likelihood that if you are writing or you are doing something that allows your customer, your potential customer, to find you based on the words you write, you're going to get leads. You're going to get inquiries, and you're going to have less cold calling on your, or less prospecting on your menu.
For sure. So guys, one thing you may want to go back to your desks or your phone and Google is the Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group, because you need to be a member.
Yeah, why aren't you a member?
I don't know. If you're listening for the first time, just so you know, this is the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. We go live 5 days a week. We are here to answer your questions. And when you post stuff in the group, we respond.
Yeah, and pardon us. I apologize for this sort of self-promotion, but we fucking rock.
But for real, like, we want to help you. So why wouldn't you join the group? Come on.
Get in there. We throw our 2 cents in there.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that everybody gets the full value of Sell or Die. And so we have great guests on like Perry, and we're going to continue to do that daily ad infinitum.
Yeah. Okay. So one last promo here, if you will. On September 24th, we will be in Chicago. Jeffrey will be eating Garrett's popcorn. I probably will not.
I'll be having a shrimp cocktail at Gibson's.
Okay, I will have that too.
Okay, cool.
Their steak's really good.
Yep.
But we will be at the Crown Plaza in Chicago, September 24th. It's a full day event. You can come just for the sales leadership portion, or just for the sales person, which is sales mastery portion, or both. All you need to do is go to cgittimer.com/Chicago.
Yeah,
there are still tickets available.
The Crown Plaza is actually out by the airport, by the way. It's on River Road.
Yeah, and you know what? It's going to be a great event.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited. And if you are a diehard, I want you to let us know when you get there, because we have a special surprise for you.
Oh, yeah. So we'll ask who's a diehard, and we will give you the the diehard gift of the century. the diehard gift of the week.
Yeah.
I meant the week. Yeah.
All right. I get century. Oh, and we're going to be doing Cellar Die Live from stage. That's going to be fun.
And you
that's
can be a guest. Lot of fun.
Yeah, you can be a guest on the show. All right.
What's going on today?
Well, we do have a 5-star review.
Aha.
And this is from Jeremy, who writes, Jeffrey and Jen provide a no-nonsense approach to sales and the advice they give. Their guests are intriguing, and overall, the lessons learned in this series are invaluable. In a world filled with 5-second attention spans, the advice to serve others, connect with individuals, and provide genuine assistance to others are lessons we all need to be reminded of consistently. Thank you for all you do. Jeremy, thank you.
And our 5-second quote today is, stay out of New Jersey.
All right, so you ready?
That will help a lot of salespeople.
You want to get to the interview?
Sure.
Mr. Perry Marshall.
Perry Marshall is endorsed by Forbes Incorporated magazine and is one of the most sought-out business consultants in the world. He founded the $5 million Evolution 2.0 Prize with judges from Harvard, Oxford, and MIT. And there's some brain power. The prize aims to solve the biggest mystery in biology. His 80-20 curve is taught as a productivity tool in NASA's Jet Propulsion Labs at the California Institute of Technology. His Google AdWords books lead the foundation for the $100 billion pay-per-click industry. And techniques he pioneered are standard best practices. Ultimate Guide to Google AdWords is one of the world's best-selling books on the internet, on internet advertising. What is the 80-20 rule and how does it apply to sales and marketing? We're going to find that out in your book. 80-20, you list out the 5 sales truths. One of them is bleeding neck. You got to explain that before we really get cranked, but please help me welcome the one, the only, Mr. Google AdWord, Perry Marshall.
Well, thank you. I think I probably did die. I'm surprised that you guys were that nice to me.
If you need this for your eulogy, we can send you a copy.
You didn't bust my chops or anything. I got on a show a few weeks ago, and the guy goes, artificial intelligence, this is going to be boring acronyms.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is going to be a long hour, man. I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me on Sell or Die.
It's true.
You either sell or die. Like,
yeah, that's true.
If you're in sales anyway.
So you're in the 80-20 book. I'm assuming that you're a Pareto fan of some kind, correct?
Yeah, I think Pareto is one of the smartest men of his entire century. Yeah. I mean, he came up with that in the late 1800s. And yeah, like I'd put him in one of the top 100 thinkers of the 19th century. And the thing is most people still don't really understand it. Like they kind of think they do, but they really don't.
Yeah. But it is in sales. It's a pretty easy one to determine, especially for many of the sales managers when I tell them that 20% of their salespeople produce 80% of the sales. And they think for just a second and they go, well, you're pretty close.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a law of nature, right? And so like it's like a law of nature. If you hire 10 salespeople and you put them on the phones tomorrow, you will find out at the end of the week that 20% of them sold 80% of the stuff. Mm-hmm. And see, when I first heard about the 80-20 rule, I thought it was one of these like just little hacks or tweaks or rule of thumb or only applied in like certain special circumstances. No, it's actually universal. Like the size of files on your hard drive is 80-20. Mm-hmm. And the length of all your phone calls in the last month was 80-20. And all the checks that you wrote out of your checking account was 80-20. And all the clicks in your Google account are 80-20. It's absolutely everywhere. Most people, they've never actually seen it. They've never really noticed it. But all of a sudden, it's like once you see it, it's like you have x-ray goggles and you can see it everywhere.
Our diehards are going to be seeing it nonstop this week now.
No, and
they'll drive their wives crazy and their husbands like, oh my, huh, did you see that 80-20? It just went by.
Right, exactly. 80% of customers are shitty tippers.
Oh, Jeffrey. Yeah.
It's true.
80% of your tips come from 20% of your patrons.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into it. What are your five? Jeffrey mentioned the five sales truths.
Come on. Bleeding neck.
Well, so there's a setup story to the bleeding neck story. So my friend John, he hitchhikes to Las Vegas when he's 17 from Denver to Las Vegas, and he decides to become a professional gambler, okay? And he becomes part of a crime ring, basically.
Oh, how pleasant.
And after 3.5 years, and I got another story about that too, but after 3.5 years of this, he's sitting in a restaurant booth and there's these two guys and they're arguing. And one of them's like, yes, you will. And the other one, no, you won't. No, I won't. Yes, you will. No, I won't. And out comes a Glock and the guy goes, yes, you will. And John is sitting across the table and he's like, dude, if you don't get out of here, you're going to be dead, man. And so he left. And so he goes to Southern California and he starts selling computer equipment in the defense industry. And he gets this boss and the boss says, okay, John, he's got the stack of papers. He goes, I got 206 sales leads for you. And he goes, I want you to meet with every single one of these people and I want you to book the business. Now, John's been gambling for the last 3 years and he's like, there ain't no way 206 of these people are even worth meeting with, let alone gonna give me money. Like, are you kidding? like you gotta be crazy. And so John came up with this thing called the five power disqualifiers. And they are the five things that are always true every time you sell anything to anybody at any time, which anytime you have like a list of five things and they're always true, man, you should pay attention because it's pretty hard to come up with something that reliable. And so here's what they are is number one, they have a bleeding neck. Okay. Now what is that? Okay. Well, you'll find out if you go to the emergency room with a broken arm, right? And you stumble in there and you tell the receptionist, I broke my arm. She's going to give you a clipboard and you're going to sit down at this vinyl covered seat. And there's going to be a stack of Good Housekeeping magazines without covers. And you're going to, with your one arm that works, you're going to fill in all these forms, right? And then you're going to give it to her. And then she's going to say, have a seat. And then you're going to sit there for 2.5 hours while, you know, while they deal with your emergency. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You had your health card.
Now, yes. Now, but watch this. If a guy walks in with a gunshot wound and blood is squirting out of his aorta and splattering on the ceiling, they don't give him a Good Housekeeping magazine. They see him right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a bleeding neck. People with bleeding necks buy things. People that only have broken arms don't. Hmm. Or people who are, you know, like, okay, people who just had a heart attack, they buy things. People who are gonna have a heart attack, they don't buy anything. They don't exercise. They don't eat kale. You know,
no one eats kale. Don't, dude, no one
I
eats
eat kale.
Kale. Yeah, girls eat kale.
Hey.
But who's going to buy a person with a bleeding neck? That's who's going to buy. And if they don't have a bleeding neck, they're not buying your stuff. So that's the first power disqualifier. Now what I got to say about this is most people think that sales is a convincing people business. No, it's a disqualification business. Sales and marketing are disqualified. Who doesn't have a bleeding neck? Who doesn't have, right? Who isn't going to buy? Get rid of them until only the buyers are left and then you sell. And oh my goodness. And the next one, right behind it, the power disqualifier number two is, do they have the money? if they don't have the money, they're not buying. I can tell you, I can't tell you who will buy. I can tell you who won't. The people who don't have the money won't buy. Now, as simple as this is, like, if you guys could ride around with me in my rusty blue Toyota 1985 Corolla in the 1990s, when I was trying to figure out how to sell, you'd be like, who is this moron? Right? You know, he spends an hour and a half with this engineer who can't possibly, you know, he doesn't even have a budget for this. And you're, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. And I'm like, I'm doing all this stuff, right? He's not buying Jack.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have anything, right? So they have to have the money. Number three, do they buy into your unique selling proposition? Well, most sales guys don't even have one, or they don't know what it is. Or like, it's like, okay, why should I buy this from you instead of every other guy in the whole world? And they don't have an answer. Like, well, why did you even get out of bed this morning? Like, so I could buy something from you that's exactly the same as these 12 other people? Like, why do you exist? And I know this sounds really mercenary. Look, I'm just telling you how the world is, right? You know, I wanted the world to be all like, you know, like Bambi or something. You know, no, the world is Bambi's mother. Like, boom, you're dead. You know?
I never pictured Bambi's mother as a murderer. But
I know.
She's not a murderer. No. She got murdered, right? Uh-huh. She got hunted down, right?
Yeah. Got it.
It's like, you know, Bambi's an orphan, like all the people in the orphan stories. Even Bambi is an orphan. The Lion King is an orphan. There's a lot of dead parents out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
This is really dark. I'm just sounding terribly dark today.
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty good, though. Your
lighting, this is great. What's number four?
Hold on. Your lighting is good, though. Don't worry.
Oh, you know what? I bought one of those lighting kits.
Oh, cool.
Well done.
An umbrella. There's actually an umbrella.
Well,
and a window.
That's good.
Who'd you get it from? B&H?
Amazon. So I guess I'm sorry. You know, I'm putting B&H out of business.
Yeah. No,
I just asked my
video guy.
They're going to be fine.
They're
okay.
They're going to be fine.
All right. So what's number four?
Number four is they have to have the ability to say yes. Most people you try to sell to have the ability to say no, but they can't tell you yes. Okay. So we're back to that engineer guy again. Like he could throw you out and you never get back in, but he can't approve the purchase order. He has to go to his engineering manager. He has to go to his whoever, higher ups, whatever. He can say no, but he can't say yes. Or like if you're selling to the husband, but the wife isn't there and it's like a kitchen, you're not selling that thing.
Duh.
Correct.
Duh. Right. Well, but I did that. Like I said, if you could ride around in my 1985 Toyota rusty Corolla, which was light blue, and like you'd be like, why can't this guy figure out that if a husband and the wife aren't both there, it's not even worth going to the appointment? And I guess it's probably because I didn't have any sales leads and I wanted to do something, and I'd rather do something than nothing. So I guess there I am, selling to a guy that can say no but can't say yes.
But this wasn't just a problem of the 1980s or your problem. We have listeners, and it might be you listening right now out there.
You diehard.
Yeah, who has this exact same issue. It's like you don't want to be in a position where you're doing nothing. So you go talk to people, even though the people you're talking to are not the right people. They don't have the power to say yes. They don't have the money. They don't have a bleeding neck, and
they have to
talk to them anyway because you want to feel like you're being productive.
And they have to guess their daddy or their mommy if they can buy it. Daddy, well, can we get this?
Please.
So hey, if this is you, at least you can know that like there's only 3,800,000,000, you know, other salespeople that did the same stupid stuff.
So is number five a clincher of some kind?
It's actually really subtle. Number five is it fits their overall plans. Now, again, that might seem obvious, but how many salespeople don't even know their overall plans? Like, they listen to the whole kit presentation about, like, the new bathroom or something, and the guy's like, well, yeah, but we're moving to Las Vegas in October. So, you know, we can't buy a remodeling project. You know, oh, no, we're not going to put a new roof on the house. No, we're not going to do siding. And you're sitting there like, well, why did the guy even listen to me for the last 30 minutes? Probably because you're more interesting than Seinfeld reruns.
Yeah.
I don't know. But let me throw this at Seinfeld.
Hang on a second. Just let me throw this at you. If I'm a siding guy or I'm a roofing guy or I'm a window guy and I'm going into somebody's house that's moving, I'm going to say, is the house sold yet?
Well.
Hang on a second. And he's going to say, well, no, not yet. And I said, well, do you want to get maximum dollar? And he would say, yeah. Well, I'd say, well, then you better get a new roof or you're in trouble.
Well, and if you can prove it.
Huh?
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about the sales guy who didn't ask enough questions to figure out that these people are moving in October.
Yeah, no argument.
And they don't have a for sale sign, right?
Yeah.
It's like the context.
And to your point, Perry, what Jeffrey is doing is he's creating the bleeding neck. Jeffrey, what you're doing is saying, like, if you don't do this, your roof's going to be burnt down. Like, you're, you know.
How to create a
Jeffrey brings a knife to every appointment and just stabs him in there.
No, I just put it on the table.
Oh, man.
So they know this
with a little hearse.
Exactly.
You know, it's like I knew a guy who did this in insurance. He'd put a little hearse on the table. And then the guy would start talking. He'd say, no, you're dead. You can't talk. Only your wife can talk now.
Ooh. Oh, my God. That's totally cool.
Okay, so wait. So you learned these from your friend, John.
Yeah.
And I want to hear the end of that story. So John had 206 sales leads, and did he apply these? What happened?
I think I forget the exact number in the book, but I think he actually met with 12 of them, and he closed 6.
Whoa.
But he went through the entire... He went through the entire 5 power disqualifiers before he even attempted to meet with them in person. He did all the disqualification on the phone. And so he just refused to do stupid stuff. Now, I understand, like, if you actually just need to practice your sales presentation, there might be a little room for some of that. But really, you should not get in the habit of just, like, doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's... No. Like... No.
Just no.
Yeah, exactly.
Just no.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. You may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling or The Little Gold Book of Yes Attitude. What you don't know is I'm coming to Chicago. I love Chicago. And I'm going to help you learn more to earn more, because right now we're in the biggest boom economy in a long time. And your sales are probably up, and you may erroneously think that you had something to do with it.
It's amazing. You are 100% wrong.
I'm not coming there to tell you how to have your best year ever. I'm going to help you have your best decade ever. Invest a few dollars in yourself. The dividends will last a lifetime. I'll see you there. Now you have the sales expertise. Do you fancy yourself a salesperson?
Well, I don't consider myself a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely consider myself a marketing person.
Mm-hmm.
And what my whole gig has always been, if I can do all of the disqualification right, if I can do all the marketing and positioning right, then they'll be pretty much ready to buy by the time I actually see them. And that's really my approach. I mean, I'm not like a closer kind of guy, and I don't like memorize NLP phrases to hypnotize people. Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, totally creepy.
Well, you know, my friend Tom said he was an NLP master practitioner, and he says people come out of them trances. You better be careful what you say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh.
Exactly. I find myself, I'm so good at persuasion that I didn't want to take that stuff on purpose because I didn't want to feel like I had a greater power to manipulate somebody when all I had to do was persuade them.
You know what I told my son? My son is 19, and he's had acting lessons, voice lessons, oratory, debate, improv, and he comes across to most people like he's at least 25.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very persuasive. And if you put him next to me at the same age, like when I was 19, he would blow me away.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I said to him? I said, Kyler, I said, you need to read a lot of good books and a lot of old books, especially, and a lot of wisdom books, because you don't want your persuasion ability to run ahead of your wisdom, because otherwise you will sell people into swamps. Mm-hmm. And you will not like how your life turns out if you're doing that, you know? So okay. He's, you know, he's like reading the book of Proverbs and he's reading Aristotle and he's,
cool.
You know, listening to How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he's listening to Socrates and Homer and, you know, and I'm really, especially the old literature, because that's where the wisdom is.
Mm-hmm.
I am dead serious. Like, I'm not being the slightest bit tongue in cheek about this at all.
Yeah. We can tell you have your serious face on right now.
Yeah. And we're totally in agreement.
Yeah. Okay. So you're often quoted as saying, stop thinking in averages. Talk to us about that. What do you mean by it?
Okay. So everybody is used to averages and bell curves, right? And averages are really easy to understand, right? And everybody went and took a test in school, and the teacher drew a bell curve and said, okay, so everything over 91 is an A, and everything above an 85 is a B. We all, and the average was a C plus. You know, we all did that. But bell curves always obscure the real story, okay? So If I have a science test in school and the average was 77, you know, and I put it on a bell curve, it gets you thinking about the average kid in the class. But you know what? The average kid in that class, not one of them is going to become a scientist. Okay.
You're not a deep enough thinker?
They got a C in a science class. Unless they were just screwing off, they're not like, it's the A students that are going to be the scientists. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now here, but see, here's the thing. So in 80/20 sales and marketing, in my book, all throughout the book, I use this curve. Okay. And it's called the 80/20 curve. And I want you to imagine an exponential curve, but the curve is inside a rectangle, and the curve on the right side, instead of just like zooming up into space, it zooms up straight up against the vertical line.
Like a rocket
okay?
ship.
It's like a hyper rocket ship. If you put 80/20 on a graph, that is what it looks like. Most people have never seen this. Okay. And now let's take our science class and let's put the kids on that graph. That's the actual truth of their science ability. The truth of their science ability is 20% of the kids have 80% of the science mojo. 20% of the 20% have 80% of the 80%. And 20 of the 20 of the 20 have 80 of the 80 of the 80. Now, this is kind of trippy, but if you do the math, here's what it says. It says, I've got a class with 30 kids. One of those kids has more science mojo than all the other 29 put together. It's the same with programmers. It's the same with cooks and chefs. It's the same with salespeople. If I have 30 salespeople, one of them outsells the other 29.
Every time.
And you can, once he emerges or she emerges, it becomes predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And see, I'm saying all of this is predictable. I don't care who it is. If you hire 10 people and you put them on a sales floor or in a boiler room, two are going to outsell the other eight. It's just going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't change it. It's a law of physics. So you deal with it. How do you deal with it? The first thing you do is you fire six or seven of them.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the first thing. And the second thing, you don't. So I've got 1 through 10. I fired 1 through 7. I have 8, 9, and 10 left. Okay. And number 10 is a superstar. And number 9 is pretty good. And number 8 is okay. What most people do is they try to fix number 8. It's like, okay, I could take this okay guy and I could make him a lot better. No. What you do is you go to the superstar and you go, okay, how do I make you bionic? Okay. I send you to a negotiation class. I send you to a closing class. I generate leads for you. I have a little lady that comes and collects all your receipts and fills your shoebox and she does your expense reports. I give you a personal assistant. I have somebody book your plane tickets. I give you a chauffeur, like whatever. I get the guy in front of the people. Now, the guy's also, he's a prima donna. He's a stallion. He's totally dysfunctional. He might be an alcoholic. Okay. Well, you put duct tape around him to deal with all of his dysfunctions, right. And you just put him out there and sell.
Yeah. It's my philosophy had always been for a long time, you take the non-productive salespeople and you line them up against the wall and you have them count off by twos and you shoot the ones.
Oh, Jeffrey.
And you'd have a lot of motivated...
Why is there so much shooting today?
I don't know, but you'd have a lot of motivated twos, I can tell you that.
Well, we could put them in a halal meat factory.
Yeah.
And we could just feed them to the high performing salespeople in an act of cannibalism.
Man. Yeah. Actually,
boy, this is really dark. What is it about you guys, man? You're just bringing
out
the
best
worst.
We're doing
our darkest show. I don't think we've ever gone there.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's a Chicago thing. Everyone there's dark.
Well, I was that guy. I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, after 2 years, they finally just fired me.
So, which is a badge of honor in some cases. I've been fired.
Yeah.
I was fired by U.S. Airways. It's a badge of honor.
I've been fired from 5 different jobs.
Oh, cool. I was fired as a customer.
Is lovely about firing, but I want to talk about Google AdWords
because
you're the
too.
Expert.
No, wait a minute. You're the freaking expert.
Yeah.
You wrote the book on it, correct?
All right. Well, I did. I wrote the world's best-selling book on internet advertising.
Did you know it was going to blow up in the way that it did?
No. When I started Google AdWords, it was 2002. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. A year later, I got invited to speak at a seminar about Google AdWords. And back then, Google was like this weird company that had a search engine with all white on the front. Okay. And I liked it because their search results was great and lots of engineers liked them. And I was an engineer. And so they invented Google AdWords and it was like the whole English language was for auction. Mm-hmm. And I just thought this was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I understood direct response marketing and you could A/B split test your ads. So you could test headlines and all in different landing pages and stuff. And I thought, oh my goodness, like I could bid on the word plumber. I can bid on the word telemarketing or whatever I want. And I can get these people to come and visit my website. And it was just incredible. And I didn't have any idea. And then, you know, Google ends up in the next 5 years, it becomes the 800 pound gorilla of the whole entire internet.
Yeah. Let's make it 900 pounds.
Yeah.
They control it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, Google AdWords, especially for local businesses, you know, like, look, if a guy's looking for, you know, braces for his kid's teeth or, you know, anything like that, you can get right in front of somebody right when they're looking. It's incredible.
It's cool and creepy at the exact
same
time.
Oh, totally
same
scary.
Time.
Yeah, totally creepy.
And how do you think like these...
Because they retarget you and you go like, how do they do that?
But yeah. I was talking to one of our friends about it at Gabrielle's event this week, to Vanessa. Like, how do you think these home devices and the Apple Watches and the things that are like always listening play a role into that? Like, we were talking about ordering toilet paper on Amazon, and we swore that when we got home, we were going to have like Google targeted Charmin Ultra toilet paper ads come up in our news feed.
Okay, so you know what's funny is everybody's like going freakazoid about Facebook privacy and election and all that. Okay, and the same reporters that are writing these stories are buying an $89 Amazon Echo and sticking it in their kitchen.
Right.
And it's
right?
listening to everything.
Right. It's listening to everything. Like, okay, so when do the trains come and the Gestapo comes into our houses because, I don't know, because they voted for Donald Trump or something and like send him to a concentration camp. So like, when's that part? That's a sales funnel, man.
I read that's about it funnel. When I read 1984 for the first time. It wasn't necessarily what was going to happen in that same scenario, but clearly there's a big brother out there and he's got a dog.
1984 is a classic.
It is a classic, but I read it in high school.
Same.
And it tells the truth.
No, I read it before 1984.
Did you read the Cliff Notes version or did you read the real version?
I read the whole thing.
Okay, just checking.
but I'm going to throw this at you. There are people who, there's three kinds of people. People who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who don't know what's happening. And the majority of people don't know what's happening.
That's right.
And so they go home to their thing and they fall victim to the process.
Yes. So this whole thing about Facebook privacy and stuff.
It's bullshit.
Okay. That was the person slumbering, going, and then they go back to sleep. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they have this vague.
Yeah, they woke up and they saw this kid on television and they went right back to sleep. They're not going to, you know, like, all right, okay, so 400,000 people deleted their Facebook account. And Zuckerberg goes home and goes, big shit. He doesn't care. He's got 2 billion. So,
well, you know, Stalin is reported to have said, you know, one death is a tragedy and a million is just a statistic.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
This is so dark. How are you guys just pulling this out of me?
Well, we're doing the best
we can. I'm normally like such a happy guy.
We are good at pulling things out of people, apparently.
Hold on. Something just happened to me.
Uh-oh. He lost his headphone thing or something.
Unplugged myself.
Yeah, you did. I see it.
Oh, no. You're unplugged.
He couldn't hear that.
All
he
right.
said, oh, no, you're unplugged.
My microphone came unplugged. My headphones came unplugged.
I'm going to get off the Stalin thing for a second.
No, let's stay on there. Come on. This is it. We're into statistics now, finally.
Oh, man.
You know what a Stalin autobiography is?
No, but you're going to tell us.
What is it?
I've always loved puppy dogs and children.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one on every bookstore shelf in every bookstore. You know, there's some horrible person.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got a ghostwriter and they got an editor and man.
They're going to, you know. Yeah. I mean, they just wrote the one on The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, why would that guy be making money?
He's giving speeches now.
I know.
He's like, people want to hear.
He's the dark side of the speech.
I know, but people want to hear what he has to say. Supposedly he's recovered or something.
Yeah,
I
he's
know.
Recovered. Right. Just give me all your money. I swear to God, I'm recovered.
My aunt went to high school with him.
What all this shows you is that the world is way stranger than it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that truth is stranger than fiction. And what you should do as a marketer and as a salesperson is just get with the fact, adjust to the, like, live in the is world instead of the should be world.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But as an expert in AdWords, should people still be buying them?
Yeah, but man, you better be armed before you even start, man, because.
What do you mean by that?
It's a black hole.
Wait, well, I don't hear what he means.
Okay, listen. So two things. Okay, so 2% of the advertisers get 50% of the clicks.
Whoa.
So how do you become that 2%?
You can't.
You
can.
You better.
2% you have billions or that of 2%? Dollars. How do you become that 2%?
I'm sorry, Perry. I apologize for interrupting.
You better sharpen your saw, buddy.
Okay? Do you have to? have the millions of dollars. Like, in order to become that 2%, do you have to invest millions of dollars in it?
No, but you better invest in education. Mm-hmm. And you could go, oh, well, of course Perry's going to say that because he sells an AdWords book and he sells AdWords training. Be my guest and blow a small fortune. Give all your money to Google. Don't give any money to me and see what happens. And don't say I didn't tell you, okay?
Yeah. So, one thing that people should be doing that's just stupid that they're not doing?
Okay, first of all, if a Google person calls you with advice about your AdWords account, run.
I get those calls weekly. Run. I always hang up.
Okay. Yeah, okay, secondly.
They sound like robots.
Nobody should ever be allowed to manage an AdWords account that didn't learn AdWords on their own dime, spending their own money.
Ooh, that's a very
solid. What do you mean? Like investing their own money in AdWords?
Right.
Yes.
Cool.
Like on their own business, selling their own product, paying for the advertising out of their own pocket that they robbed Peter to pay Paul.
Yep.
They really get it. Okay.
Yeah.
They get it. Okay. If they learned AdWords on somebody else's ad budget, like, oh yeah, I had a job at IBM and I did AdWords. Don't touch that person with a 10-foot pole, especially if it was like a big dumb company. Like, no, they didn't. They probably didn't know anything. And you should demand that the person who learned on their own money print out all the reports and explain them to you and prove to you that they made the money with all their conversion reports. Yeah. So it's like, you come to me with your Google Analytics and show me how you did it with your own money. Okay, if you insist on that, then you have a 50% chance of it working instead of a 2% chance.
I love all these averages. Keep going. This is great.
Well, actually, what you're doing is saying that if you don't have the intelligence to begin with, that you just don't begin. It's
the experience, right? AdWords is like a bicycle. You don't learn how to ride a bicycle at a seminar. You learn how to ride a bicycle on a bicycle, okay? And like marketing is a hands-on sport. Sales is a hands-on sport. Like, I can't fathom like the people that are coming out of school with business degrees and like they sat in classrooms for 4 years. Like, dude.
No, with a professor who's never had a job.
I went to a pretty good business school in St. Louis, and I learned more at my 40-hour per week job that I did while attending college than I did in the classroom.
Right. Right. So, well, that's a whole nother rant. We probably shouldn't go down that road too much further.
No, there's a lot of billions that are playing in that.
Right. It's a bubble. I'll just say this. Higher education is a bubble. And I'm not quite sure what happens when it pops, but something's going to blow.
Okay, wait.
There's a gasket somewhere.
I have a question about this. So we've hired different Google AdWords specialists in the past.
Yes.
And one of the things that they always have said to us, and it's interesting because I'm looking back now and I think they've all said this, is we're going to start small and we're going to test a few things and we're going to see how these three things work. And then we're going to go from there. It's like, should they already show up knowing what's going to work?
Oh, no, that's entirely correct. Okay. Because you can't predict exactly what's going to work without doing it. So it's like, this is back to that bicycle, not seminar thing, right? Even in whatever business you're in, whatever you're doing, any AdWords person that says, oh, okay, so you got a budget of $5,000 a month. Okay, so we're just going to start spending $5,000 a month, like right away.
Yeah.
That you run the other way. You actually want him to go, okay, so we're actually going to start at 1500 and we're going to do this narrow set of keywords. And we're going to try to get these sales leads for these particular set of sales people. You know, they do it on some limited thing. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
But this is the thing that's scary to me. Google has the minions. You know, people don't Bing, they Google.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have control, Google has control. It's like
$48.51 for a lead, or it's $13.28. How do they decide what the value of that word is?
Oh, it's an auction. Okay, so basically, they charge per click, but they reward people that get a lot of clicks. So at the end of the day, if we get right down to it, it's dollars. It's who can pay the most dollars per 1,000 impressions of their ads showing when people search. Okay. And the highest bid, the person that they make the most money on is number one, and the second most is number two, and the third most is number three, and it just goes right down the line just like that.
How did they come up with that price, though? Was it something they pulled out of
there? Oh, because everybody's bidding against each other, okay?
So you're saying, I'm going to pay $5 for the word selling, and I'm going to pay $6, and now you're going to pay $7, and we're going back and forth, but I don't know you're on the other end.
Right. You don't know what the other people are paying. It's called a Dutch auction. But you could have hundreds of bidders, and you've got four slots, and the highest bidders play in those slots. And for some keywords, it's literally a penny. And for some, the highest bid you can pay for a Google click is $1,000.
So, wow. So what does the future hold for Google AdWords?
Well, it's here to stay. And Google will hold on to that for as long as they are competent and like don't have a stupidity spasm. You know, they'll probably be just fine. You know, if anything's going to break it, it would be rock, paper, scissors, where like somebody comes in from the back door with some completely disruptive technology that none of us can precisely predict, and the whole entire landscape just suddenly changes, and everybody's doing things a different way. But I'll tell you, Google is buying AI companies like left and right, like everywhere they go. They're, you know, $1 million here, $2 million there. Oh, that looks cool. That looks cool. They're trying to become like AI central.
And I respect the hell out of that, because that is what's going to be happening.
AI is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. So we're going to give you our budget.
You're going to tell me your budget. You're actually going to give me your budget.
I'm giving you our budget.
Wow. Well, thank you.
And that way,
Jennifer's
looking at me like I'm
my wife and I are going to go out to dinner.
Yeah. Go to Gene and Giorgetti's. It's the best steak in Chicago.
Just don't call us like on one of those islands with the umbrella drinks and send us a picture of the sand, because we'll be really jealous.
Yeah.
When I go to islands, I get lost in the fog and sleep under a rock. So I don't really do that.
Okay.
Got you. Do you eat at Gibson's?
But that's another story.
Do you eat at Gibson's?
It's been a while, but yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a great place.
But yeah, Gina Giorgetti's is downtown. It's better than Gibson's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Gibson's near the airport?
Is it better than the popcorn place? Is it better than Garrett's popcorn?
Well, there's no comparison.
Heroin.
Popcorn or
heroin
steak, you know?
Is better than...
Jeffrey! Where do you get this from? All right, Perry, this has been amazing. Where should people go?
No, well, hold on a second.
Yes.
Perry, you are amazing.
And you're amazing. You're amazing.
Hey, look, you take a compliment like shit. I understand that. I understand that. But you're a pioneer.
Yeah.
And pioneers are, you know, it's like you're the Christopher Columbus of Google AdWords.
Nobody said that before. Well, pioneers come home with arrows in their backs. You know, that's kind of the problem. You know how many arrows I've had in my backs? Man, I've got marks.
Dude, it's part of the tough shit rule. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to take a lot of, you know, there's a lot of.
Yeah.
A lot
you're
of.
You're leading the way.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
The world is full of fucking morons. In fact, it's 80-20.
We just made not a laugh out loud. That was amazing.
Our producer's falling on the floor.
20% of the morons exhibit 80% of the moronic behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you really need to look at is for the super morons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
Yeah. Those are the ones that get out of the shower to take a pee.
Yeah, that's right. While they're weighing themselves,
no, you weigh yourself after.
Watching ounces. Look, When I pee, I lose an ounce every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Their scale doesn't work anymore.
I'm going to sell an infomercial with this.
That's a whole other issue.
I'm losing 2 ounces a second.
Oh, man.
All right. So our people will reach out to your people. When we'll be in Chicago, I'm sure, soon.
Yeah. Let's get together when we're in Chi-Town.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we'll just send you money and you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
Well,
it's better than giving your money to most Google agents.
Exactly.
At least I'll send you popcorn. They don't.
Yeah.
When did they ever send you popcorn?
Never.
They sent you Russell Stover's candies at Christmas.
There are a couple of companies around here that are very big in telemarketing, and they use a lot of Google AdWords. I was in their offices one day. There were 10 people from Google in a meeting.
Wow.
10 wow. people.
All right.
Well,
so
if you spend enough money, the Google people call you with good advice. But most people forget it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to, before we send you checks, big checks, we're going to read your stuff because I want to make sure.
Your copy of your book must have gotten lost in the mail.
Yeah,
The autographed
first edition. We didn't get the damn book. Like, what the hell?
I'm still looking for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, well, I will send you a sympathy card and some Harris popcorn.
Thank you.
Just send the book along with the card.
But ladies and gentlemen, where can people, well, obviously they can go on Amazon and get your books, correct? But would you like to get hired as a consultant for people? Is it?
You should go to perrymarshall.com mm-hmm. and you can find my 80, you can find all this stuff. You should sign up. I've got an email series called the 30-Day Street MBA. Sign up for that series and it will educate you. Really, seriously. You'll enjoy it. You'll even hear the story about me getting lost on an island and shivering under a rock and almost dying. You'll even hear that story. And also, if you want a Facebook or Google Ads consultant, go to marketers247.com. And here's what that is. It's a huge marketplace of people that I have trained. And so you can search Google AdWords, you can search Facebook, you can search Infusionsoft, you can search landing pages, you can search copywriting, all kinds of stuff, and you get Perry Marshall trained people. Marketers247.com. Since you're talking about Google people, because man, when you're buying online advertising, there are so many. I mean, there are podcasts where people say, just go out and sell Facebook ads because the owners are so stupid at doing it. Even though you don't know anything, you know, you'll be better than they are. Well, which might be slightly true, but man, no, it's a jungle out there and you can get screwed so easily. Mm-hmm. You really need to be careful.
So don't get screwed. Call Perry Marshall.
Right.
He's the real deal. And Perry, thank you for coming on our show today.
Totally appreciate your intelligence and respect the hell out of it as well. So that was revealing. I love the fact that 80% of people don't do the 20% thing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the Pareto principle in reverse and you figure out that most of the salespeople won't do what it takes to make the sales. And the 20% of the salespeople pretty much make all the sales.
Yeah. I mean, we knew that, right?
It's not 100%. Yeah.
I mean, Pareto sort of invented this whole thing. But Perry has brought it.
It's not true in fishing, by the way.
Really?
5% of the fishermen catch 95% of the fish.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's what my father-in-law one time told me.
And he's an expert on who catches fish?
Unbelievable.
Really? Yeah, better so than Pareto?
Oh, yeah. Pareto was not much of a fisherman. He was pretty much of an economist.
Yeah. I really like, though, how Perry has applied it to sales because it makes you think about what percentage are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in the 20%? And if not, what do you need to do starting right now to get there?
By the way, the 20% of salespeople also make all the money.
Like right. 80%. If you're making all the sales, you're also making all the money.
20% of salespeople make 80% of the commissions. And I think that's what you need to do to understand how powerful that principle is.
So, well, let's talk about 20%ers' actions. Okay. What are those 20% people doing differently?
Well, they're working harder and smarter. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of the four-hour work week. That's for the 80% losers. Mm. You're not going to work a four-hour week and make much money.
When I see a sales guy or gal go home at 5, I'm like, seriously? Do you know what your competition is doing? Right. Do you know what your colleagues are doing? They're not done at 5. Like, sales is not a 9-to-5 job.
20% of your competitors are kicking 80% of your ass.
Yeah.
And you have to put it into perspective in order to be able to make that happen.
Yeah.
You have to be kicking their ass.
Yeah.
And I think that the only way you're going to do it is to work 80% harder.
Mm.
So if you're only working 20% harder, you're only getting 20% of your results.
So Diehard, this is something you have to figure out for yourself, but like, what could you be doing differently? What are you not putting in enough energy into to make your sales happen? Like, identify it. Go home, go to work, wherever, write it down. What do you need to change right now?
And let's take one more thing out of Perry. You as a diehard, you as a great salesperson, need to be doing more writing so that the people who are paying for those Google AdWords trip upon your AdWords, because your words are the ones that people are paying for. And if you're in the paint industry, or if you're in the insurance industry, or you're in the medical supply industry, you have to write things with those words in there so that Mother Google searches them, finds them, and puts them into the hands and the mind and on the computer of the people who could potentially connect with you and buy from you.
Yeah, and like AdWords, in my opinion, are great for generating awareness, but they do come up as an ad. And so you're obviously, if you see an ad versus someone's post that comes up that's like number one or two on Google, what are you going to trust more? You're going to trust the post, right? And so if your post is showing your knowledge and has comments on it and people are engaging with you, I mean, you're going to have a much better chance of winning whether you're paying for that or not. But the key is to start doing.
And in order to do that, you have to wake up earlier, get to work earlier, stay later, and go to sleep later, because you're working your butt off in order to be able to achieve. All achievement comes with hard work. Nobody sits back and wins the lottery. Well, some people do. You're right. But those people don't have all their teeth. So look in the mirror. If you have all your teeth, you have no chance of winning the lottery. Get to work.
So this is like my pet peeve lately. Like, all these billionaires are going on and doing these ads that look like they're not ads, but they're video ads. And they're like, oh my God, I made sales easy and let me show you how to do it. Sales aren't necessarily easy. They're hard work. And they like show a picture of them in front of their jet or whatever.
The easiest way to make sales is to avoid bullshit of other people that tell you it's easy and get the work.
But they show a picture in front of their jet or, you know, something to show off, like their Bentley or whatever. And then they're like, well, let me show you how it's easy. Guess what, guys? They just want your money. Like,
well, the bottom line is this.
You're still going to have to do the work.
Some people, obviously they achieved. Obviously they made the money. Obviously they put it together properly. But you may not be able to do it in that same style. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to do it in that same manner. My suggestion to salespeople has always been, pick a way that's comfortable for you, where you're yourself in front of other people, and pick something that you love to do. Don't go after something because somebody says there's a lot of money in and whatever it is. Go after something that you love and do it with passion, because it may be baseball or it may be medicine.
It may be the Eagles.
It may be the Eagles. I'm passionate about the Eagles, but oh, my God. It may be the Eagles, Tampa Bay this weekend. We'll see. But the challenge is this. When you love what it is that you're doing, your passion will increase. And you won't go home pissed off that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You go home and you still have that incentive to get more. That's what I'm thinking. Jenny?
Well, I was going to go on a rant.
Go!
Before you... I was going to go on a rant about the fact that, like, there are these people out there that are trying to scam you into thinking that you don't have to work hard and it's passive profit. You make money while you sleep. Guess what, guys? Those people who are making passive profit, if that's what you even want to call it, they're making it because they worked their asses off.
And they're making it because you're paying them.
Right. No, but yes, but they're making it because they are part of that 20% who worked harder and smarter than everyone else. And diehards, I want you, and I know Jeffrey does too, we want you to be part of that 20%. So go back, listen to this episode, and figure out what you need to do for yourself to change what you're doing right now so that you can become
part of the 20.
Yeah.
And even if you're only part of the 21, you're still close.
Oh, yeah.
And my challenge to you is figure out what it's going to take for you in terms of loving what you do and being willing to work hard to be able to make it happen. And that will make you more of a successful diehard than any other element of your life. So come to Chicago, hang out with us, be part of the podcast. Go to
cgittimer.com/Chicago if you still want tickets. They are a few available, not a lot, but there are a few available.
Sign
still.
Up for the Facebook page.
Yes, please join our Facebook group.
And we're going to see you tomorrow.
All right.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And all you have to do is get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard. And we thank you.